Before I begin my homily, I just want to say, as the deacon, the good deacon, brought up the book of the Gospels, I was watching your faces and your eyes and your posture and your attention. And what an encouragement it is to me to see these faces of faith, your devotion, your attention, as you watch the Word of God come up and then you hear it proclaimed. I just want you to know that you are a ministry to me as well when I see things like that. So thank you so much. Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. For the past few Sundays, we've been going through the parables of Jesus that he told in Jerusalem during his last days before his passion, death, and resurrection. We've seen the mounting opposition to him from the Pharisees and from the chief priests. Jesus continues to warn them that if they reject him as Messiah, they will face divine judgment, and that in particular, the city of Jerusalem will ultimately end up being destroyed. Today, we do not have a parable from Jesus, but rather what might be called the riddle of Caesar and his coin. In today's passage, the Pharisees and prominent leaders are again attempting to trap Jesus, to ensnare him in his speech. So what kind of a trap were they laying for Jesus? Basically, they want Jesus to give a yes or no answer to whether it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. They really thought that they had him on this question, because either way, a yes or no would get him into deep trouble. If Jesus says yes, it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, he can be accused of being a Roman sympathizer. In the first century AD, Israel had a considerable number of Jews who were zealots, who vehemently opposed the Roman occupation of Jerusalem and Israel. The Romans were seen as total pagans who had no right to be there, and the zealots despised the Jewish tax collectors as Gentile sinners because they colluded with the occupying Roman forces. So a yes answer gets him accused of being a Roman sympathizer. And then there's a serious fallout with all of his fellow Jews. But if Jesus says no, he can be accused by the Romans of sedition or of inciting rebellion against the Roman government. And since Jesus was immensely popular with the common people, the Romans would not take such a threat lightly. But in the end, it's not a good idea to try to trap Jesus. We should all remember that. And Jesus' response, "Show me the coin that pays the census tax." So they brought him a denarius, which was a small coin stamped with the profile of the face of the emperor. What is kind of special is that we actually have coins that were used during this period of Jesus' life. From around AD 14 to AD 37, the emperor, the Caesar, was named Tiberius, and many of these coins were stamped with his profile. On the coins also was an inscription, "Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus." So think about this just for a minute. Jesus has this coin in his hand with a graven image on it, and the Jews were forbidden to worship graven images. And this image was not only called Tiberius Caesar, but it called him the Son of God. You see, the two previous emperors, Julius Caesar and Augustus, had both been divinized. Suetonius, the ancient Roman historian, wrote his famous biographies of the emperors called The Lives of the Caesars. In it, he refers to the divine Julius and the divine Augustus. So then Jesus, with this denarius with the image of a Caesar on it, asked, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" And the Pharisees reply, "Caesar's." That's when Jesus responds, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." So now most of us can see here that Jesus is, in a very shrewd way, giving permission for them to pay the tax to Caesar. Frequently, this is used as an example for teaching and enjoining Christians to be dutiful to the state. In other words, we should give what is due to the state, pay taxes, and be solid contributing members of society. That's part of what Jesus is getting at, but I believe there's more that is at the heart of this message. When he asked the Pharisees, whose image is this and whose inscription? The Greek word for image is icon. It means likeness, and we get the English word icon from that. So an icon of Caesar on the coin allows for the lawfulness of paying taxes to Caesar. But by using the word icon, Jesus is subtly alluding to another critical occurrence of the word in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, when God makes a man and a woman, he makes them in the image and likeness of God. So the Greek translation of the Old Testament there is the same word, icon. So the man and the woman were made in the icon of God. They're literally icons of the Creator. They bear the image and likeness of God. So there's a double meaning here. Jesus is saying in response to the Pharisees, you can give your money to Caesar, but you need to give your life, yourself, to God. Our gospel today stops at verse 21. But the very next verse says, when they heard it, they marveled. They left him and they went away. Put another way, their trap had failed. Jesus was too shrewd, too brilliant in his response. So what can we take away from the riddle about Caesar's coin? What are some of the spiritual implications for us? Well, I've already mentioned briefly that in our gospel for today, it's often been used as a proof text for enjoining Christians to live peaceably under the God-given authority of the state. St. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And again in 1 and 2 Peter, you can read St. Peter's words enjoining Christians to pray for the Caesar, to pray for the emperor. Saints Paul and Peter were asking their followers to pray to God for their leaders, that he might bless them, and that ultimately they might be saved. St. Lawrence of Brindisi lived in the early 17th century and wrote a commentary specifically on the gospel passage that we have for today. He wrote, to each, he says, must be given what belongs to him. This surely is a judgment full of heavenly wisdom and instruction. For it teaches that authority is twofold, having an earthly and human aspect and a heavenly and divine aspect. It teaches that we owe a twofold duty of obedience to human laws and to the laws of God. The coin bearing Caesar's likeness and inscription must be given to Caesar, and the one stamped with the divine image and likeness must be given to God. We bear the imprint of your glorious face, O Lord. We are made in the image and likeness of God. So you, O Christian, because you are a human being, are God's tribute money, a little coin bearing the image and likeness of the divine emperor. Unquote. We are God's tribute money. We bear the image and likeness of God. Beautiful words. A beautiful image. Very powerful. First, we as Christians have a twofold duty to obey human law and divine law. But more than that, like the coin of Caesar, which had Tiberius' face imprinted on it, we bear the divine face of Jesus Christ. When we live and move and act in this world, people should see Christ. When they hear us, they should hear Christ. For we are a little coin bearing the image and likeness of the divine emperor.